See, Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 7, we have to study together so that we have a better understanding of what Paul trying to say. If you just jump into chapter 7 without reading chapter 6, I don't think you understand what Paul trying to say. If you go to school, we study the textbook chapter by chapter. You don't jump. But unfortunately, people go to the church, they study the Bible, they just flip the Bible chapter 7 without studying the previous chapter. I don't think they understand. So that's why a lot of people, they read the Bible, they don't understand, because they jump the gun. They don't do it step by step. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you open our eyes, that we can see the wonderful thing that is written in the law and help us to have a better understanding. We confess before you, things that we don't know are so much. So that's why we are in bondage. And I pray that you set us free, open our eyes that we can see the wonderful thing that is written in the gospel and help us to understand it and then put what we learn into practice and so that we be overcomers. We don't want to be a loser. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, there's three things that Paul talked about. Don't you know? You know? The things... The thing that we don't know, then we'll perish. For the Bible say, my people perish because they lack of knowledge. They don't know. And Paul knows that we don't know. So he helped us to understand. So you read that 6:3. And then 6:16. 6:3 talk about baptism that we don't know. If we know the importance of baptism, right after we believe in Jesus Christ, we will be baptized right away. The reason why people don't baptize right away, because they don't know. 6:3, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Not only baptized into his death, and then Paul go and saying, if we were therefore bury with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. In other words, Christians, they claim to be a believer of Jesus Christ and yet refuse to be baptized. They have no ability to live a new life. You still live an old life. Any person who's claimed to be a believer of Jesus Christ and remain to live an old life, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You have to live a new life in order to be able to enter the kingdom of God. The Jewish people, they claim to be believer of God and yet they live an old life. So that's why they cannot enter into the promised land. Don't you know that? I don't think a lot of people know. At least the Jewish people don't know. If they know, they won't scare the all over the whole world. The reason why they cannot enter into the kingdom of God, because they don't know. So the first thing we know, the importance of baptism. Die with Jesus, bury with Jesus, and raise with Jesus. That's the importance of baptism. If we raise with Jesus, then we live a new life. With this new life, for sure, you can enter the kingdom of God. That's good. Now, 6:16. Romans 6:16, second thing you talk about. Don't you know? We confess that. We don't know unless the Lord reveal it to us. Things that we don't know become a mystery. If the thing is so clear, we won't call it mystery. This is a mystery. Unless Paul mentioned it to us. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slave, You are slave to the one whom you obey. Whether you are slave to sin, which leads to death, that means cannot enter the kingdom of God. Or slave to obedience, which leads to righteousness. For sure, that person can go to kingdom of God. Don't you know? Well, we confess that. We don't know unless we study the scripture and purposely memorize that. So in other words, the second thing that we learn, number one is 6:3. Number two is 6:16. So 6:16, what do we learn? We learn that when you become a Christian, you can either have two choices. Either you remain to slave to sin, the end result is death. Or you can be slave to obedience, or slave to righteousness, or slave to God. The end result is life. Do you have any other choice? No, you have no choice. You either slave to Satan or you are slave to God. You either slave to sin or you're slave to obedience, slave to righteousness and slave to God. Don't you know? Well, we don't know, but now we know. The third thing in chapter 7, he asks us, don't you know? 7:1. Number 3. Don't you know, brother? For I am speaking to men who know the law, that the law has authority over a man only as long as he lives. So I make it short, I make it clear. I delete some of the wording. Listen to me carefully. Don't you know, brother, that the law has authority over a man only as long as he lives. Law cannot control you if you are dead. Law can only control you when you are alive. So I don't know whether you remember what Moses had said in the Deuteronomy. He said, now I pronounce the law to you. This law is not speaking to your forefather because they passed away. Now I'm speaking to you because you never heard of that. Law has only authority to you as long as you are dead. Now get back to chapter 6. Do you remember that we are dead already in baptism? So that's why if you refuse to be baptized, You claim yourself to be Christian, you claim yourself to be mature Christian, you claim yourself to be Sunday school teacher. If you do not know the importance of baptism, you still do not understand the Bible. So in other words, if you are a father, if you are a mother, if you are a Sunday school teacher, if your children claim to be a believer and yet he still hasn't been baptized, what are you going to say to him? You are still under the law, my friend. What did the Bible say? Where there's no law, there's no sin. You are still slave to sin. What are you doing? Don't you know that you get yourself into deep trouble? Brother and sister, memorize that. Chapter 6 and chapter 7. Memorize it so that you know what you're talking about. No wonder a lot of people, when they say things, they have no authority because they say their own thing. They don't understand. But we read it, we hear it, and we don't keep it in our heart, and we still don't know. I tell you for sure, the moment you leave this place, you forget everything, unless when you go home, you choose to memorize it. You understand? If that word departs from your mouth, that word doesn't belong to you. If that word never departs from your mouth, and that word belongs to you, then you get power. Say that one more time. 7:1. Don't you know, brother, that the law has authority over a man only as long as he lives. Then I just jump, instead of 7:2, 7:3, I jump to 7:4, so that we have a better understanding. So my brother, you also die to the law through the body of Christ. So if you just read that 7:4, so brother, you also die to the law through the body of Christ. We say, what do you mean by that? What do you mean through the body of Christ, you know? Unfortunately, if you read chapter 6, you don't read chapter 6 and then you jump to chapter 7, what is body of Christ? I want you to write that down. Through the body of Christ means 6:3. Don't you know, brother, when you baptize into his death through the body of Jesus Christ? When Jesus Christ was hung on the cross, he died on the cross. Now you want to be united with Jesus through baptism? When you baptize into his death, that means you are dead through the body of Christ. You united with the body of Jesus Christ. You know what? Unfortunately, nowadays, people, when they go to a church, they don't, when they're at home, they don't study the scripture. And the pastor know that they don't study the scripture. They try to make everything simple so that hopefully they can understand. And that's why the Christian, a lot of Christians, they don't grow into maturity. They always drink spiritual milk. They don't eat solid food, just like what Hebrews chapter 5 and chapter 6 is saying. They always maintain to be infants. You know what? If you look at your child, if he never grow, I think it worries you a lot. But as far as spirituality is concerned, if you don't grow, we say it's okay. We are in deep trouble, unless we turn around. When I was at university, before I go to the class, I study all the textbook. Reference book, I study ahead of time. By the time when the professor teaches me something, I know the material, where does it come from. Every time when you read something, it's the first time for you to read, you will not understand. But the time you go through it numerous times, and that belongs to you. You have to do homework yourself. Okay? If you don't listen, a few years down the road, you will remember and you will regret. Brother and sister, why Paul saying that 3 times? Don't you know? Because he didn't know. He didn't know himself at first. That's why he persecuted Christians. By the time he turned around, he found out that thing that he didn't know, that's why he fall. But once you know, you become an overcomer. Go back, 7:4. So my brother, you also die. You know, as a matter of fact, we are alive. How come you say you also die? You die to the law. In chapter 6, you say you die to sin. Now you die to the law. How do I die? I'm still alive. Through baptism. Through your union with Jesus Christ. Because you want to be baptized into his death through his body. Why you have to be baptized into his death through his body? That's one reason. That's the thing that we don't know also. So that you might belong to another. So that you might belong to another. That's the thing we don't know. Why? You know, if we know Psalm 100 verse 3, the Bible say, we do not belong to ourselves. That's the thing we don't know too. Okay? But in the in India. Could you go to Psalm 100, verse 3? The English translation say, we are His. Original language is not, we are His. We are not ourselves. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God that we don't know. We thought, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I have a new life. I live on my own life. I choose whatever I like to choose. I do whatever I want to do. No. No, that means you don't know. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who make us. If He make us, then we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. That's the thing we don't know. But you know, this kind of stuff is Old Testament teaching. If we understood the Old Testament, we will understand the New Testament. Okay? Now go back to Romans. Chapter 7, verse 4. So, my brother, you also die to the law through the body of Christ, through baptism. Through your union with Jesus Christ, you baptize into His death, that you might belong to another. Now, since you might belong to another, then we don't understand. So, we go back to verse 2 and verse 3. Okay? Now, go back to Romans chapter 7, verse 2 and 3. For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. So then, if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress, even though she married another man. She used, Paul using 7:2, 7:3 as an illustration to explain the law of marriage has authority over a man or woman as long as he or she lives. Using that illustration. Lo and behold, we don't realize that illustration is so important for us to understand another truth that we don't know. So I go to 7:4. So brother, you also die to the law. This time this law is not law of marriage. You die to the law is the Old Testament law. You die to the law through the body of Christ. In other words, if I refuse to be baptized, although I claim to be a Christian, and I'm still alive, and I'm still under the law, if anyone under the law is under curse. If you are under the law, you are under curse. Where there's no law, there's no sin. So make sure that you are not under the law. Make sure that you are under grace. So how can I be transferred from that authority of the law to the authority of grace? It's through baptism, the body of Christ. That you might belong to another. Who is this another? It belongs to Him who was raised from the dead. So you put a bracket in here. Belongs to Him. You write that down. Jesus Christ, my Lord. I belong to Jesus Christ, my Lord. Now, another thing that we don't know. What else do we know? We don't know that right after we baptize into Jesus' death, in union with Him in death, in burial, we have to be in union with Him in resurrection so that we might belong to another person. That another person is belong to Jesus Christ. Why do we have to belong to Jesus Christ? That's the reason for that. In order that we might bear fruit to God. Brother and sister, you don't have to ask anyone. You don't have to ask anyone whether you belong to Jesus Christ or not. You ask yourself how much you understand the scripture. Do you belong to Jesus Christ? If you belong to Jesus Christ, you have a proof. If you never bear fruit, that means you do not belong to Jesus Christ. Do we see that? I read that one more time. Chapter 7, verse 4. So, my brother, you also die to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead. Why do I have to belong to him? If I do not belong to him, I will not bear fruit to God. No one, I want you to write that down, right beside bear fruit to God. You write down Old Testament teaching, and you write down New Testament teaching. Old Testament teaching, Deuteronomy 16, 16, 7. 16 and 16 to 17. New Testament teaching, 2 Peter 1, 10. 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose. That is Jerusalem. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Week, and at the Feast of Tabernacle, 3 times during these 3 feasts, no man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. We all have to bear fruit. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. I want you to write that down also, right in here. No one be able to appear before God empty-handed. I want you to write that down. Matthew chapter 21, you remember talk about the vineyard? The Lord give you the vineyard and expect you to bear fruit. Those people refuse to bear fruit. What happened? The Lord take away the vineyard and give it to someone else that will bear fruit. Okay? Don't ignore this kind of teaching. This is Jesus' teaching. Okay? Go back to Matthew chapter 21, please. You write down 33 all the way to 46. Those people who refuse to bear fruit, and what is their end result? Verse 43. Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from him and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Don't tell me you believe in Jesus and you don't believe in his teaching. Now, I go back to 7:4, Romans chapter 7:4. So, brother, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to Jesus Christ. If you do not belong to Jesus Christ, you will not be able to bear fruit. But if you belong to Jesus Christ, you will be able to bear fruit. Unfortunately, a lot of people, they say they belong to Jesus Christ, but their action proves that they do not belong to Jesus Christ. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Does it make sense? You take a look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. It says very clear, not everyone who call me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. Only those who do the will of the Father. Do the will of the Father. Is he obedient? Is he slave to what? Is he slave to sin or slave to obedience? Do the will of the Father, that means slave to obedience. That person, for sure, he bear fruit, for sure he enter the kingdom of God. Not everyone who say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. They are the one obedient one. They are the one who bear fruit. They are the one who keep on bearing fruit and producing fruit. That's why Moses saying in Deuteronomy chapter 16 that no one can appear before God with an empty hand. Now go back to New Testament teaching. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Therefore, my brother, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. If you sure that God called you, if you sure that God chose you, make sure that you make your calling and election sure. For sure you know what you're doing. For if you do these things, this thing is what this thing? Go back to verse 5. That eight things help you to bear fruit. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith, goodness to goodness, knowledge to knowledge, self-control to self-control, persevering godliness, and godliness, brotherly kindness is love. Make sure you possess these eight qualities in increasing manner. For sure that you will bear fruit. Chapter 1, verse 11. And you will receive, if you have this eight quality, you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because you don't enter with empty hand. You say, Pastor John, how do you know? Go back to verse 9, verse 8 and verse 9. For if you possess this eight quality in increasing manner, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unproductive means you do not bear fruit. Verse 9, but if anyone who does not have them, does not have this eight quality, he is nearsighted and blind, he has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sin. He has been cleansed from his past sin. That means you are not sin to slave, man. You are supposed to be slave. You are supposed to be slave to obedient. You know what? You know who 2 Peter, you know where he learned that from? You write that down. 2 Peter chapter 3. He learned it from Paul because he studied the book of Romans. Book of Romans is a must. It's a must that we have to study. Martin Luther, he's a Catholic priest. He studied PhD in theology, and yet he never studied the book of Romans until he was told that you are now a professor, I want you to teach the book of Romans. He studied the book of Romans and teach the book of Romans, he turned to be follower of Jesus Christ and bear fruit. Keep going. So what do we learn today? We realize the reason why we don't bear fruit is because we refuse to be baptized into his death. We don't die with Jesus. If we don't die with Jesus, we are still under the law. We are not under grace. We are under the curse. We are not under the blessing. But we forget that. Those people who receive abundant provision of God's grace and receive God's gifts of righteousness, they are the one who reign in life through Jesus Christ. They don't realize that. They can reign in life. They can bear fruit Brother and sister, if you cannot bear fruit, the Lord will not require you to bear fruit. But if you can bear fruit and you refuse to bear fruit, then God hold you accountable to it. Does it make sense? If He didn't give you the resources, He won't require you to do that. He give you all these resources. 6:3 Roman, don't you know? 6:16, don't you know? And then 7:1, don't you know? You know all this? You have the resources to bear fruit. Okay? You have the resources to grow into maturity. Because the bottom line, when God say, I want you not to belong to yourself, I want you to belong to Jesus Christ, the reason for you to belong to Jesus Christ is to bear fruit to God. Bear fruit to God means you don't bear fruit by your own means. You bear fruit by the means of Jesus Christ. I want you to write that down. In order that we may bear fruit to God, write that down. Gospel of John, chapter 15. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cut off every branch in me that bear no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, I want to stay here in verse 2. I'm the branch, Jesus Christ the true vine. If I refuse to bear fruit, what's the end result? He cut it off. Cut it off, what does it mean by cut it off? Cut it off, that means you lose your eternal life. Cut it off, that means you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's what we mean by cut it off. What happened if I bear fruit? I didn't bear a lot of fruit, I just bear fruit. Then, what did the Bible say in verse 2? I read that to you again. He cut off every branch in me that bear no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. After we hear in verse 2, 15, Gospel of John 15, verse 2, if we truly understand that, that's the end result in verse 3. Jesus said, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Of the word, you write that down. 15:1-2, that's the word. You understand that you have to bear fruit. You don't bear fruit, He's going to cut you off. You are just a branch. But if you bear fruit, He's going to prune you. He's going to discipline you. He make you make sure that you're going to bear more fruit. Verse 3. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you, if you understand it. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. How do I remain in the vine? I baptize into his death, bury with him, and I'm going to raise with him. I'm going to live a new life. The old life do not bear good fruit. Only a new life will bear good fruit. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. In verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remain in me and I in him, and he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus Christ has no intention to ask you to rely upon your own resources to bear fruit. Jesus Christ requires you to remain in Him just like a branch remain in the true vine so as to bear fruit. If anyone does not remain in me, he do his own thing. He does not remain in me, that means that guy think that my life is my life. Leave me alone. Okay? He not realize that. You have no choice. 6:16, you either a slave to sin The end result is death, or you slave to obedience to do the will of the Father. The end result is eternal life. He didn't realize that. Don't you know? He said, oh, I know. No, you don't know. By your action, prove that you don't know. If I know, I will bear fruit. Okay? Now keep going. Verse 6 again, 15:6. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withered. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. We know that there's one place, there's fire in that place, and keep burning, there's hell. So it's very, very clear. Unless we don't read the Bible, okay? There's no fire in heaven and keep burning like that in heaven. Verse 7. If you remain in me and my word remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. That is the encouragement for you to remain in Jesus Christ. When you pray to God, God answers your prayer. Why? Why God answers your prayer? Because when you bear much fruit, you honor God and God honors you in your prayer. Verse 8, this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, so showing yourself to be my disciple. You have to prove that you are Jesus' disciple by the fruit that you bear. You claim to be a Christian. You have never led anyone to Christ. What kind of Christian is that? Only one thing I can say. You're infant Christian, because if you're an infant, like a young tree, cannot bear fruit. Okay? When you come to maturity, you get married, then you bear fruit. You don't get married, you don't bear fruit. When you get married, you got to have children. Okay? You will bear fruit. But you say, oh, I want just to live alone, two of us. I don't want to bear fruit. Fine. This is your choice. All right? Now go back, Romans 7:5. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, NIV footnote say, when we were controlled by the sinful nature, you can translate into, when we were controlled by the flesh. By the flesh. The sinful passion aroused by the law, that's the law of God, were at work in our body. I want you to write that down, this body. In chapter 6, had this kind of description. In our body, what did Paul say? This body, chapter 6, verse 6, this body called old self. Chapter 6, verse 6, old self, you write that down, is from Adam. Chapter 6, verse 6, what do you call this body? This body is the body of sin. And what is this body again? The body is mortal body, 6:12. So, our body... Do that again. 6 what? 6:6. A is old self. 6:6 B is the body of sin. You know what? I believe you read Romans chapter 6 too. But when I pointed out to you, you say, oh, I didn't know that, you know? That's why the Paul said, don't you know? You know? We don't know that. That body that we have is old self. It's not a new one. That old self is from Adam. The first Adam. Okay? But the old self cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Only the new self from the second Adam, from Jesus Christ, okay? The body of sin cannot inherit the kingdom of God either. Okay? The glorious body. The glorious body. The glorified body. Okay? that can inherit the kingdom of God. That is Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. When we were transformed, we have a glorious body. G-L-O-R-I-O-U-S. Glorious body. Okay? And now, where are we? What was that? Six? The immortal body? Six what? 12? 6:12 is a mortal body. That body is dying. Okay? These are the body that we have. You know what? These are the body stopping us to bear fruit. That's why this body has to be put to death. Render powerless. Full baptism. If we don't know that we have this kind of body, you say, oh, I still look after this body. You look after this body, that's why you don't bear fruit. Oh, I got to go to crew. I got to go to this place. I got to go to that place. But the body say, I don't need to read the Bible. That's what the body say to you. Okay? Because there's a body of sin. There's a mortal body. It's an old self. Okay? That's why I say don't jump the gun. You know, don't just go and read chapter 7 without reading chapter 5. Without reading chapter 6, okay? Let's go back to 7:5. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, by the flesh, the sinful passion aroused by the law were at work in our body, that is at work in the old self, at work in the mortal body, at work in the body of sin. But that sinful passion aroused by the law will not at work in a glorified body. No way. The glorious body are not controlled by the sinful passion. Okay? So that's why we have to put that body to death. That's why. So that we bore fruit for death. That mortal body, body of sin, old self, will only bear fruit for death, not bear fruit for life. Bad fruit. Okay? 7:6. But if you don't quite understand 7:5, don't worry. Because in the latter portion of chapter 7, explain in detail. So I just jump. I don't explain right now. I leave it for next week. 7:6. But now, I like this word, dying. Not once. Keep on doing it. But by now, by dying to what once bound us, what bound us? The law of God bound us. By dying to the law, then I'm not under law. By dying to the law, I am under grace. So 7:6 is another revelation, which is different from chapter 6, verse 14. I go back to 6:14. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. 6:14 say that we are not under law, we are under grace. But then, 7:6 give us another revelation. It's a newer revelation. What did I just say? 6:14. And then 7:6. 6:14 and 7:6, both of them talk about not under law. But 6:14 talk about now is under grace. And 7:6 now talk about under the Holy Spirit. Wow, that is good stuff. That's good stuff. By now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law. Released from the law, that means we are not under law. So that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Written code is law. We are not under the old way of law. We are under the new way of the Spirit. So that's a new revelation. In other words, when you have the Holy Spirit, that means you're under grace. In other words, when you have the Holy Spirit in your life, that means you'll be able to bear fruit. All right? 7:7. What shall we say then? Oh, I want to stop here. 7:7. And then at the end of chapter 7, it's next week. Now I go back. To recap what we have learned from another teaching in the Revelation. I tell you about the mystery. Go back, chapter 7, verse 4. So my brother, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit to God. Bear fruit to God, you write down Gospel of John chapter 15. I also bear fruit to God. I want you to write down Ephesians chapter 5. I tell you the mystery that Paul revealed to us that we don't know before, but now we know. Chapter 5, book of Ephesians, verse 30 to 32. For this reason, verse 30, for we are member of his body, write that down, we are member of Jesus Christ's body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. Mystery, that means we don't know before, but now God revealed it to us through his writing, Paul's writing. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. Christ and the church. That is a mystery. Christ and the church. In other words, the church has to marry to Jesus Christ. So, what have I learned? Don't you know three things? First thing, we need to be baptized. Second thing, we need to be slave to God. 37:1, we need to what? We need to become a bride. The bride is united with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our husband. We are being faithful to him. We will bear a lot of child. We will bear a lot of fruit. That is a mystery. That's why when we die with Jesus, through the body of Jesus Christ in baptism, now we can belong to another man. That man is the man who rise from the dead, and he is the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. We learn one thing today. We are not only a slave, we are new bride. And we belong to Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. We know that when we are the bride, not the old one, a new bride, we will continue to bear fruit for Jesus. For sure, we will not enter the kingdom of God with empty-handed. For sure, we will bear a lot of fruit. So help us, God. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.